Hare Krishna. So it's a pleasure to be back in Canberra. Believe it or not, I actually like Canberra. But somehow or other, I couldn't come to Canberra because the last few years my stays in Australia were just too short. I always had to squeeze it in between dates. If I wasn't on the way to the GDC meetings, then I had to rush to a Ratiyatra in Soweto and things like this. So, somehow or other, Canberra just missed out. Or I missed out on Canberra, so to speak. So, it's a pleasure to be here once again. We will be celebrating Gaur Purnim, and I already started celebrating a few days ago, because you can't really celebrate Gaur Purnim in one day. It's not possible. There's too much to celebrate. So, therefore, we celebrated over many days, including today, and somehow we'll start. Jai Radha Madhava, Jai Akanda Dehari. Jaya Gopidana Vallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopidana Vallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari. Jaya Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Bajrana Nandana. Jaya Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Bajranga Dhanga Yamuna Tira Vanaka Jaya Bajranga Dhanga. Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Go Jade Hari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, in his transcendental pastimes, spend the first 5 years in childhood pastimes, and at that time he performed many miracles. In his childhood pastimes, Lord Chaitanya showed that he clearly was not a human being, because at that time we saw, first of all, on the footprints of the child, there were the same marks that we find on the lotus feet of Krishna. So that was something extraordinary. Not only that, while the child was very small, it is said that at that time in the house, his parents could regularly hear the tinkling of ankle bells, and they found also footprints with these same marks in the dust. So how was this possible? The child was too small to walk. So his father finally concluded that it had to be the Shalagram Shila that was running through the house. How the Shalagram Shila can run through the house, that question was never asked, but that was the conclusion. So somehow or other, by the influence of Yoga Maya, Jagannath Misra and Sachi Devi could not understand could not understand that their son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like Nanda and Yasoda could not understand that Krishna was the Supreme Lord. It just didn't make sense. When Yasoda looked in the mouth of Krishna to see if he ate clay, she said, "Open your mouth." Okay, he opened his mouth. And the question is, did Krishna eat clay or not? Did he? You think he did. Krishna, maybe he was innocent. What do you think? Was Krishna innocent? And were just his friends making politics against him? And did Krishna eat clay or not? He ate everything. Yeah, there was lots of earth was there. Yeah, if you look in his mouth, right? Whole planets were there. All the planets of the universe were there. So there was lots of clay, definitely. So, yes. And it's very interesting because this very story where Krishna ate clay, well, what happened to Mother Yasoda? When she saw that, she thought to herself that maybe I have gone crazy. Because suddenly she's looking in the mouth of her child and sees the whole universe. She's thinking, maybe I've gone mad. But then she thought, no, but that would be too strange because never before have I shown any sign of madness, so I don't think it can be that. She said, then maybe it is Deva Maya. Maybe the demigods are doing this. She said, but I'm just an ordinary person. Why would suddenly the demigods mix into my life? That also doesn't make sense. Then maybe these universes are really there in the mouths of Krishna. Then maybe Gargamuni was right. Then maybe he is non-different from Narayan. And then maybe, if he's not my son, then maybe I am not the queen of all these cowherd men here in Vrindavan. And she started thinking like that. And then a moment later she saw Krishna crawling on the ground and she just became overwhelmed by motherly feelings and picked him up and forgot everything. That is Yasoda, who forgets immediately upon recognizing Krishna's glory. The story is very interesting because there's a very deep philosophy in that story. Because how can Krishna be in the universe and the universe be in Krishna? See, this is very difficult. Try and figure it out. How can he be in the universe and the universe be within him? That is very difficult to understand. You know, one might say that, well, Krishna, God, is everything that exists. So then you would say he is the personality of Krishna plus the universe. If he is everything that exists, we see Krishna and we see the universe. Then he must be Krishna plus the universe. But no, it's not like that. He's simply Krishna, and the universe is within him. So this is the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Simultaneously, one and many. So Krishna himself is illustrating that very philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. That Krishna is everything, and it's all one, and yet it's all full of variety that we are experiencing. We are seeing that everything is different. So in this way, in that simple story of Krishna eating clay, we see the whole philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained in a very practical way. Some philosophers don't agree. They don't agree with that. They say, when you see this material energy, that is all illusion, they say. They say, there is it a rope or is it a snake? Yes. You see at night in the village, what is it? Is it a rope or is it a snake? It's difficult to say what it really is. So, this is the Mayavad philosophy where they say that all this variety in this world is simply illusion. It's all false. Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya. Brahman is real and this Jagat is false. It is Mitya. So Sankaracharya Uvacha. So he says, yes. And, well, why does he say that? Why? He argues like this. He said, well, isn't God always God? Isn't he everything? Can we say that there is anything that can exist that is not his energy, that is not God? No, it's all God. So is his point. So therefore he says, how can God, who is the unchangeable, eternal, how can he change? So when it looks that he has changed, when we see a house, when we see a car, when we see different forms, it's illusion, Sankaracharya says. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not agree. He says, no. It is a fact. Krishna never transforms, but he has energy. This Brahman is not God. It is the energy of God, he says. It is the Jyoti, the Brahma Jyoti. It is the effulgence, as is explained also in the Isopanishad, one of the eight principal Upanishads. There are 108, but out of them, eight are principal. Isopanishad is one of them. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukam tattvan apan pushana pavrinu satya dharmaya drishyate. Please take away this bright golden effulgence. Take away this dazzling effulgence and from behind it show me your real face. Brahman is the energy of Krishna and therefore it can transform. Energies transform. And thus, this Brahman manifests itself in so many varieties of form, and yet it is all one in Krishna's energy. And thus, achincha bheda bheda tattva, simultaneously one and simultaneously many. Everything indeed has its origin in Krishna. Everything indeed is spiritual. Someone was saying that to Prabhupada, he said that in many religions in the world, they don't accept the form of the deity. Because they say, how can God, who is spiritual, be manifest in matter? How is it possible? They say. And even, there are even famous Indian writers like Tagore, who said, how can you say that which is made of dust and will return to dust, that is God? So many have questioned the deity. So one person also questioned to Prabhupada and said that, but how can we worship spirit in a material form? Prabhupada said, matter doesn't exist. Finish. No more discussion. Everything is spiritual. Everything. Because everything is Krishna's energy. As simple as that. So in this way, philosophy makes a difference. It does make a difference. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when only a little child, one day his mother offered him sweets to eat. And instead of eating the sweets, he just took a hand of dirt and put it in his mouth. Just like Krishna, he ate dirt. But this time his mother caught him and said that, I saw that. Why are you doing this nonsense? What is this? Right? And he said, why are you angry with me? Why? I am eating dirt. Just think about it. He said, whether you serve milk, sweets, or dirt, it's all a transformation of the same dirt. So there's no difference. It's all the same. So Mother Sachi spoke to the little Mayavadi and explained to him that, look, if I take clay in the form of a lump of clay, then it's useless. But if we make out of that clay a nice pot, then we can keep water in the pot. But if I pour the water just on top of the clay, it becomes a mess. So how can you say it's all one? Then Lord Chaitanya said, that's very practical. That is very practical. So the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are very practical. We can see them. If someone says it's all one, we have a problem with that because it's not practical. Try and cross the street in that way. It's all one. You wouldn't want that the human being, the road and the car all become one. That wouldn't be very good. Right? Not so desirable. We'd rather stay separate if possible. So, if it's all one, how can you cross the street? Very difficult. So not practical. Not practical. Mother Sachi pointed out, not practical. Clay in the form of a water pot is different than just clay in the field, obviously. Yes. Sweets are different from dirt. I hope you all agree, otherwise we'll go in the garden and after this program we'll serve you something. Some nice Canberra dust. Very tasty. A little dry, but you get some water. No, this philosophy of Sankaracharya is so impractical. And therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is so nice because it's practical. It is practical. We can deal with it right here, right now. So even as a child, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was already beginning to teach. Yes. First, defeat Mayavad. Because the Mayavadi says that the form of Krishna is Maya, is illusion, is false. They say this form of Krishna is just an imagination. They say the whole idea of a spiritual world that exists eternal, with your desire trees and your Kamadhenus and the river Yamuna and the whole forest of Vrindavan and Giriraj, Maharaj, all that, they say it's all false. So like that, these impersonalists, they say Krishna is Maya, Krishna's abode is Maya, and devotional service is Maya. So no wonder that the devotees are not so fond of the Mayavadis. Because when you start saying Krishna is illusion, we say, wait a minute. That we can't accept. That is rascaldom. Therefore Prabhupada was very strong. Prabhupada would often speak about rascals, nonsense, use strong words like that in people. Nonsense rascal, which in India is a very strong thing to say. If you say to someone nonsense rascal, just see what happens. Make sure you got your sneakers on, you know. So, like that, we see that, but Prabhupada was not concerned. When he was in America, he was in Boston MI or something? Massachusetts Institute, I think. MI. MIT. Was it MIT? Okay, MIT. Yeah, you're right. So anyway, he was there, and one man in particular, from India of course, was just hammering but it is Swamiji, it is all one, and but Swamiji, it is all one. And then Prabhupada finally grabbed him by the kurta, and he pulled, very strong. He kept him like that, and he says, so, Is it a kurta or is it a cotton ball? Tell me. And he kept him hanging like this until he almost choked. And then he finally says, a kurta. Prabhupada said, then how can you say it's all one? And pushed him away. And afterwards Prabhupada said, he said, old men and children, they get away with anything. He said, but you shouldn't try and do this. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was very strong with this impersonalism. And we must deal with this first, absolutely. We must make sure that there is no misunderstanding. When Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, begins to explain the Panchatattva, the five truths in which the Supreme Lord appears, then immediately after he defeats Mayavad, just so that we understand that Krishna appears in many forms, and then we think, yes, many forms, but all one. No, not just all one. No. It's not that. It's the Panchatattva, all these forms. The Lord appears in these different forms. In his original form, as Krishna. Panchatattvamakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam. Then, in his own form, but in a different mood. Just like Balaram, Krishna and Balaram, what is the difference between Krishna and Balaram? There is no difference. The only difference is that Balaram is in the mood of a servant. So one is Sevya Bhagavan and the other one is Sevak Bhagavan. One is the Supreme Lord who is being served and the other one is the Supreme Lord who is serving. We could never serve Krishna. We have no idea. But Balaram shows how to do it. Balaram becomes everything. He becomes the bed of the Lord, the shoes of the Lord, the seat of the Lord, the plate of the Lord. Balaram even becomes Vrindavan. So Balaram basically does anything and everything for the pleasure of the Lord. And then he takes the form of Ananta with all his unlimited hoots, the snake-like form, and begins to glorify Krishna with his unlimited mouth. This is quite amazing. Yes, that's a servant. So what is a servant supposed to be? A servant of Krishna means that we are ready to do anything for Krishna's comfort, making all the arrangements for Krishna's comfort, that we are always ready to glorify Krishna in any possible way. Vrindavan, when Balaram became Vrindavan, Vrindavan is exclusively designed for Krishna's pleasure. So, nothing else. There's nothing in Vrindavan which is not meant for Krishna's pleasure. So the whole of Vrindavan is designed for Krishna's pleasure. That is service. So our whole life should be designed for Krishna's pleasure. Whole life. Yes, whole life. So just see how it all leads back to us. Yes. But we don't want to be the servant, we'd rather be served. We'd rather sit there eating the grapes and being fanned and having many servants, some filing our nails, a few massaging our feet, and a few more who are the carriers, who carry our palaki, our palanquin, so that our feet do not have to touch the rough ground. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if only we would be served, No, it would be terribly boring. It becomes boring very quick. Very difficult to be served, first of all, because people, they serve you with all good intentions, but not exactly, the way you want it. It's just like, if I make your plate for you, what you're going to eat, I may put more rice than you want, if you know, and I may not put enough pakoras, yeah? For example, yes? Huh? Whereas you would say, well, I take only little rice and lots of pakoras, and so on, right? So, therefore, you say, no, I'll make my own plate. Yeah? I'll make my own plate. I'll put exact, because I know exactly what I want. So to be served is not so simple. Krishna also, sometimes he goes like, all right, alu sabji, okay. Maybe he didn't want alu sabji, yeah? But Krishna gets, huh? Yes? Huh? It's like that. But it is said that Krishna is not really concerned with the offering, with the external part of the offering, but that Krishna is more concerned with the devotion that we are offering. All right, in that way Krishna can handle it. Krishna can handle it being served, but can we handle it? Is devotion enough for you? Yeah. I offer you a dry chapati with lots of devotion, and I offer him a juicy pizza, and he's sitting right next to you. There you go. Bye. But Krishna eats the devotion, and in that way Krishna can accept the offerings from everyone. That's possible. But we... of course, Krishna eats everything else also, but then he puts it back on the plate, believe it or not. I know I'm saying a lot of things about Krishna, and believe it or not, but why not? Why not? Because it sounds strange? Strange just means that we can't understand. Strange just means that we cannot think beyond Canberra. Then it's strange. Right? I don't know. Anything outside of Canberra is strange. Very, very, very strange. Yeah. And then, of course, in Canberra you have different parts. People from over the hill, they are strange. Right? And the people from North Canberra are different than people from South Canberra. And it's like that, you can go on and on and on. And ultimately, people on the other side of the street are strange. Right? And in fact, you know, everybody is strange, except me. That's the end of the logic. So if you go that way, then everything is strange. So, no, we don't know. We just don't know. We never thought about so many things. We never bothered with them. We were too busy. Too busy with so many things. Ah, yes. And religion, spiritual life, oh, it was there in the life of some, and not so much in the life of others. But if it was there, then it was to get some blessings. Because, you see, in this world, there are good things, and there are bad things. And if we could just somehow or other eliminate all the bad things, then there will be only good things, and therefore, if we pray to remove all the bad things and give us only the good things, then religion's going to be pretty good. Yes, please bless me. Bless my house. Bless my car. Bless my children. Yes, yes, please bless. Bless everything I have. Bless it. Bless my bank account. Yes, yes, yes. Bless my health. Yes. Bless everything I have. Bless it, bless it, bless it. Can you please bless it just for 2 minutes? Please come and bless. Bless our house and please eat something so that it is blessed and you come to the next house and bless it as well and then bless all the houses. That's the Swami program. And then when the Swami finally comes home after having eaten in 20 houses, he sees the Brahma Jyoti. At that time, it's all one. All right. So, we thought spiritual life was all about blessings. But actually, you know, even the good things in the material world are not that good. compared to Krishna consciousness. Just like, since I was speaking about the pizza, and I may as well stay on the theme, you know. We have heard that a pizza is a self-realized chapati. Have you ever heard that? Right. Now, talking about a pizza, a multi-layered one, you know, with lots of cheese and lots of the right ingredients, etc. That kind of a pizza. It's all right. But if it's not offered to Krishna, then it's not that good. You know, it's missing something. Then it's missing the spiritual dimension. Whereas anything in relation to Krishna has this spiritual dimension, which makes it kind of fun. You have a tasty pizza, and at the same time it's eternal. You get eternal benefit as well. Double. We're having a program, we're having a good time, we have some good music, we're going for it, and at the same time you get eternal credits. Now, that's pretty good. And after a while, it gets addictive. Huh? Gosh, it's not offered. Then it's not the same. Not the same. There's no transcendental benefit. It's like sometimes people say, Maharaj, would you like to go for a swim in the pool? I go, the pool? I lived so long in Vrindavan and Mayapur. What's the benefit of the pool? Is it Maha water? Yeah? You know, the pool. But if you take a bath in Kusum Sarovar in Vrindavan or in Radhakund or in the Yamuna, that's different, right? Then it's cool and you take your bath and at the same time you get all your benefits. That's another story. Bathing in the Ganga, yes. And bathing in the Yara, I don't know. Yeah, it's alright, but it's just the Yara, you know. Yeah, you know. Huh? We don't go after every kirtan, Yara Maya Kijai. It's not like that. It's very nice, but so the spiritual element, that is the special taste. You don't find it anywhere in material things. And what do you see? What do you see in a devotee? A devotee who develops a spiritual taste, after a while, a devotee loses his taste for even the good things in the material world. It says, it's okay. You know, this Krishna consciousness is better. It's better. Better than all these other things. Better. Better. So, therefore, devotees are not even interested in just material blessings. No. They even don't want just Asirvad. Please, Asirvad, please give blessings. A little bit, maybe. But pure devotees want more. They want pure devotional service. They want to serve Krishna. So, these occasions of festivals related to Krishna for that purpose, to serve Krishna. It's a chance to somehow or other remember Krishna, to serve Krishna, to glorify Krishna. So the last few days we have been remembering prayers from Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati, who was a sannyasi from South India, a very exalted devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And he wrote a book which is interesting. And the book is specifically dedicated to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And we were reading different verses, and one of the verses we were reading was saying that, well, I'll ask you first, what is the best spiritual activity of all spiritual activities? What is it? Huh? Devotional service. What is the best type of devotional service? Chanting the holy name. All right, so Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur said that even if one is always chanting the holy name, not sometimes, but always chanting the holy name, he said even if one is always remembering Radha Govinda, full of love in the heart, still one cannot understand what pure love of God is without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even all the chanting of Hare Krishna still falls short. We chant along with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It's that mercy that makes it successful. Katanshna Srite Yasmin Duskaram Sukaram Bhavet. It is said that Lord Chaitanya, by his mercy, makes difficult things easy. And without his mercy, even easy things become difficult. So chanting, have you noticed, is not so easy. Not so easy to everyday chant. 16 rounds is a lot of rounds every day again, and you just finish them and then it starts again. 16 rounds. How to do it? Not so easy. Well, first of all, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Then without it, it may be very difficult. Maybe very difficult. So we pray to Lord Chaitanya, take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, and that gives us some strength. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. When we are chanting the names of the Panchatattva, Krishna's Kaviyas, Goswami's, then we become ecstatic. And that ecstasy spills over in the chanting, and before you know it, you're halfway. You just flew through 8 rounds. Jeez, how did that happen, mate? Where did they go? If it was in 20 minutes, then you did something wrong. You probably skipped a few beats. But if it was an hour that went by, then you actually chanted. What is one of the first principles when you are about to begin chanting 16 rounds? I'll give a few rules of thumb, just rules of thumb, practical hints. Rule number one, don't panic. Don't panic. Don't just, look at, first of all, where are my beats? Where are my beats? Where are my beats? Okay. Finally you found your beats, and then, oh God, now I've got to put my hand in that beat back, and I start it, and go all the way around, all the way around. Yes, it's a long way to go all the way around. Don't panic. If we just are in the present instead of in the future. You think, oh my God, am I going to spend the next 2 hours just chanting Hare Krishna? Help! The mind panics. The mind thinks, help. No, don't think like that. Just relax. Take a deep breath. Relax and just chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram.